T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Taking a walk on that fourth and final hour wild side here on Sports Talk. Join us tomorrow. Me and Bobby's going to be out at Cadillac of New Orleans, 3100 Lime Street, 4 to 8, 3100 Lime Street in Metairie. LSU on top of Lamar right now. A 3-run homer in the bottom of the second inning from Drew Bianco, the son of Mike Bianco, head baseball coach at Ole Miss. Good to see that in particular because he's been struggling a little bit. He's kind of been filling in for Chris Reed at third base. Good to see Drew Bianco, the freshman, have a little success. And I know, Deuce, you know Mike Bianco pretty well, I'm sure.
No, coach really well. And one of the things, the deal that he and his sons made was that he would not coach them. And so that basically, you know, that ruled out them going to Ole Miss. And for him to have the opportunity to go to LSU and play is pretty awesome. I know that he had an opportunity – I guess it was during – they were not in SEC play, obviously. It was really preseason play leading up to SEC play. He got to see him play, and it was when they played Tulane. Ole Miss played Tulane, yep. And Mike got to go up and watch him play.
Well, you know, it's amazing, Christian, because I know you catch a lot of flack because when you're preseason number one, it's like, oh, it was like the sky has fallen. And you look how competitive college baseball is. For instance, I brought this up before we came on the air. I mean, you never know. You look at the SEC, by looking at the Pac-12, the one thing in baseball, Christian, I believe UCLA is number one. You, mm-hmm. You look at Stanford, Oregon State, where they're at, top five programs. You look where Georgia's at right now, you know, that being the Georgia Bulldogs. I'm looking at a program that came here right here to Tulane and New Orleans, UC Santa Barbara. They were 6th or 10th. So it's a long process. So can LSU be relevant? And what I mean by that, they enter the final month of the regular season, one game out of first place in the Southeastern Conference,
Western Division. Yep.
So
They would leapfrog Texas A&M.
What the hell you fans are bitching at?
I don't know.
So wait, you in the hunt?
I don't know, Bobby. I'm with you. Look, it pains me every time I have the conversation. Just like last Friday after they lost on Thursday night, 16-9 to Florida. Oh, it's over. Well, look, they still got 4 SEC series remaining. They got 11 wins in the conference, and they're playing Alabama this weekend, who's 4-11 in the conference. You should sweep them.
Yes.
You're at home against Ole Miss. You're home against Auburn. You're on the road against Arkansas. Now, I could see them losing that series to Arkansas just because Arkansas is that good.
Yes, Arkansas is that good. You look at Georgia Bulldogs, Arkansas, where they're at right now.
But they should take 3 of the next 4 series.
Yes, without a doubt. So that's why you got to be patient. And, Christian, you talk about that first game against Florida, but you look overall in the series against the Florida Gators last weekend, LSU Tigers scored 33 runs.
43 hits.
They batted 368 of 43 hits. As a team, they had 8 doubles, 2 triples, 4 home runs. And LSU posted these offensive numbers without 2 of the most reliable hitters. You know, when you're dealing with injuries, Zach Watson and Chris Reed. So, listen, you got to slow your roll, keep it in the perspective. And then now, listen, Christian, you know this. You're on top of things. Now, where Alabama's at, and, you know, versus the road playing at home, that – you got to win 2 out of 3, if not 3 out of 3, right?
Look, as bad as Alabama is, it's realistic, and it's a realistic expectation. I talk about expectations all the time, how they're so overinflated for LSU baseball in particular. But against this Alabama team, who's 4-11 in the conference, and last place in the SEC West, second to last in the conference, you should sweep this team. You're going to be healthy. You're going to get Zach Watson. You're going to get Chris Reed back. Zach Hess is on the mend. You saw him pitch 2 1/3 innings on Sunday or Saturday in the series win over Florida. And then you're probably going to get Brock Mathis back. By the way, Saul Garza was back behind the dish and talked to Paul Maneri yesterday, and he said they're going to rotate those two guys. So I think it's very conceivable to think and expect LSU to sweep Alabama.
Well, if I'm playing percentage from a Las Vegas perspective, I'm just telling you.
Give me a Las Vegas Bobby percentages.
Okay, at Alabama, sweep Alabama. Ole Miss at home, win 2 out of 3. At Arkansas, win 1 out of 3. Auburn at home, you win 2 out of 3.
That's 19 wins in the conference.
That's a magic number. Yeah.
19 to 21.
Yeah. 20, you host.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, before the SEC tournament.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. So, if they get 19 wins, and they might be a bubble team to be a top 8 national seed, if they go on and win the SEC tournament or make a run
SEC tournament,
they'll be a top 8 national seed. I mean, they still have everything in front of them.
Deuce, without a doubt.
You grew up, you know Ole Miss baseball. Are they as rabid about LSU baseball? Are fans that rabid about Ole Miss baseball as LSU fans
have
you, are?
Have you seen what the state of Mississippi has done? At one point, we had 3 teams. Southern Mississippi State was number 2 in the country. And right. And so, yes, they are. I mean, when you look at –
they have 3 teams, like Deuce said. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Southern Miss.
And Southern Miss. So, yes, the state is rabid about it. And the sky is falling when they do lose a midweek game. Or they don't sweep, or at least, you know, you talk about winning a series. I think Ole Miss is one of those 4 losses or 4 wins for Alabama.
Arkansas is, and Ole Miss. They took 1 out of 3 against Ole Miss, and they took 1 out of 3 against Arkansas.
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, right now they have the Governor's Trophy game going on in Trustmark Park. In Jackson today, and that's the Governor's Cup, and so that's Ole Miss Mississippi State, sort of like the it was just 2 weeks ago, Tulane and LSU here. You guys covered it. You and Steve were
talking about Wally Pontiff Junior Classic.
That's similar. That's similar.
Yeah, okay. He had LSU and Louisiana Lafayette, the Wally Pontiff Classic.
Yeah, and so that's similar for Ole Miss Mississippi State, a midweek game today.
For LSU fans that freak out about midweek losses, go look at Arkansas's midweek losses. Go look at Georgia's midweek losses. Go look at Mississippi State's midweek losses. I mean, it's far common than you want to believe it is.
Let me tell you why it's common. Because fans cannot grasp when they look at programs.
Well, you think the overall talent. You just think of the overall talent. Yeah. You're not pitching a Friday starter on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Well, and they don't understand you cannot compare baseball to football or even basketball. That when you play a game, you're not playing like a series. And what's Ole Miss or LSU's, any SEC team's ultimate goal? What are you going to do in the conference?
Well, I want to do what can help me. My conference record is going to be strong enough because my RPI is going to be strong enough because of the conference play.
It's not the midweek games.
You don't want to lose a midweek game, right? But you're not going to lose your mind and pull your hair out if you do lose one.
Well, if you lose a midweek game, it's more a feather in the cap. If you're a solid conference team like Northwest Louisiana, Southeastern, McNeese, whoever it might be, Nicholls State.
It helps them more than it hurts LSU, Ole Miss, whomever.
Without a doubt. Because they look at strength of schedule, and that's why. Now think about this. Football, it's not even a conversation. But you look at basketball. Who makes the NCAA tournament? One Southland Conference team who wins the tournament. Now, when it comes to baseball, you might have for sure 2, if not 3, because of the quality playing baseball that'll make the NCAA tournament.
More like 6 to 7 that'll make the tournament.
Well,
Southland, Christian, come on.
What the hell? I'm talking over your head?
No.
Listen to what I'm saying.
You said SEC teams the NCAA baseball tournament.
The Deuce, you already said Southland.
Yeah,
Southland.
Okay, all right.
Christian,
I thought you said SEC. Okay.
You got a brain fart,
Christian. No, I specifically heard SEC.
Okay. No, Deuce heard it right.
Okay.
Southland Conference. You win the Southland Conference tournament. You could be 2 at-large bids beside that. So you can have 3 teams. You'll never have that in basketball or any other sport.
Okay, I agree with that. No, I thought you were saying SEC teams were only going to get like 2 or 3.
Come on.
I was like,
Christian, you hear them when you want to hear. Come on,
you're going to get at least 6 or 7.
All right, this is Sports Talk here on WWL. 1540 on the text line at 870-870 says, Christian's too busy trying to think of excuses for LSU baseball instead of listening. I'm not making any excuses for LSU baseball. I'm simply pointing out that those that are that critical and the sky is falling really don't know enough about the landscape of college baseball. You're still thinking about the Skip Bertman days when you could stockpile talent and put guys. That's the other thing, is why it's been so equal in college baseball. It's because you can't hold guys on your roster that would be starting for other teams because of scholarship restrictions, roster restrictions. It's not like those days. So it's changed the landscape completely of college baseball, in particular in the midweek games and the competitive atmosphere in college baseball. Over to the NBA playoffs, Milwaukee getting some things done. And how about Luke Walton, though, first? Start there with the news on Luke Walton.
Well, the bottom line is you can't be hoeing. You cannot, like, invite reporters to your room and give them some kind of scoop because you will get exposed one day. So, to me, is that a coincidence? All of a sudden, he becomes the Sacramento Kings head coach.
That's gamesmanship at its best. I mean, that's the Lakers taking a shot.
And then all of a sudden, this comes out. Then how in the hell are the Kings going to handle this in this day and age, political correctness? I mean, because you got to honor that, the Me Too movement. You have to honor it.
Well, the NBA is going to investigate it.
Yeah.
So they're opening up an investigation to figure out what happened, or if they can figure out what happened. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there with the investigation. And then, you know, the Lakers not knowing about it. How long was he the coach of the Lakers?
He was there a long time. They waited.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They waited to reveal this. And now the Kings are in a bind. And the Lakers are garbage.
Right now.
Okay, the bottom line is, listen, you might have people hating on me about this. Lakers and Knicks, they want the Lakers and Knicks to be relevant. But you know what's truly relevant? And Lakers and Knicks fans can't handle this. Now, I'm not saying the Clippers are going to win anything, but the Clippers and the Nets. The Clippers in L.A. and the Nets in New York, Brooklyn, it's all the same thing. That they way more relevant than the Lakers or the Knicks right now, dudes. I mean, it's unbelievable going forward. I think the prospects going, I guess, forward, when you're going to get the assets and the players that you need, I would tend to lean more than the Knicks, than even though the Lakers have LeBron James. I'm telling you. That was a bad move by LeBron. You might want to be in Hollywood, and that might be all fine and dandy. I don't think the Lakers are winning jack. Because this day and age, these young players, these young millennial players, man, they ain't being second fiddle to LeBron. They look at LeBron as an old man. He's going to be 36 years of age. They ain't on that LeBron bandwagon. The Clippers are actually more attractive than the Lakers. And listen, I don't know about other teams, but right now you could be Space Jam this or that. They ain't worried about LeBron. They worried about their legacy. And it's amazing going forward where the NBA is at right now. It's a different animal. Deuce, I don't know if you agree with that, but LeBron right now, LeBron's kind of in a bind with the Lakers right now.
Yeah, I mean, right now he's gotten turned down from key free agents
wanting
to go and play with him. And so, you know, what they do going forward will be interesting, and that being the Lakers. But, you know, how was the conversation? I know you guys had David Griffin on. Just his excitement. You know, one of the things he talked about earlier today, I think he was on The Jump with Rachel Nichols, was – the Pelicans already agreeing and doing things that he kind of put in his demand letter before he took this job. And he was saying the Pelicans and Miss Benson, like we all knew that she was committed.
Right.
They've already went above and beyond some of the things that he thought were kind of outlandish. They've already done a lot of those things already.
Well, he expressed optimism now as a possibility of being able to mend some fences with
AD. AD might be in the fold. I know Drew Holiday is in the fold, and it might be AD plus. I'm telling you right now, those bridges are not burned.
Not completely.
No, it's not completely. Like, you're barely holding on. You got to put a new board because it's almost like going to collapse. But it's not completely burned, I'm telling you. But AD.
Do you think that's some gamesmanship, though?
Yeah, hell yeah, it is, Deuce.
I mean,
it
drives up the price.
To drive up the price?
No, without a doubt, Deuce. It is totally gamesmanship. But it's not out of the realm that AD could be gone or he could be here. All I know is Lakers.
When you go and look and read what Miss Gayle has said, Miss Benson has said,
right?
You know, in the organization standpoint, well, we love him. You know, we want him to be a part of it. And when we can offer, I mean, because they hadn't stepped away from saying they're going to offer the Super
Max. Freaking lottery.
AD is going to have to tell him, no, I will not sign for that $240
million. What? The $240
million?
No. Come on. AD,
more than any other team can offer.
Whoever's AD advisor, because it's more money in your pocket, you might be an idiot.
Well, he's the manager. I don't know if he's the advisor. But.
No.
He's his agent.
To me, right now.
He's not the financial guy.
I can tell you right now.
What is the financial guy telling him?
Okay. On the court, the Lakers or the Knicks are not, the Knicks are not more relevant than the Pelicans. They are not on the court. I'm not talking about off the court and what you could do. Major market, small market, all that, a bunch of bull and all that. On the court, right now, the Lakers and the Knicks are not more relevant than the Pelicans. So, bottom line, are you in or are you out? I mean, that's the question of Max and AD and his representation.
Coming back for Jimmy and Gretton after our CBS News headlines, LSU, bottom of the fourth. They're on top of Lamar, 3-0. Bobby, Deuce, and Christian hanging out here on Sports Talk on WWL.
Nothing.
Back here with our pros, Bobby and Deuce. I'm Christian Garrick. Jimmy and Gretna, what's going on? Jimmy, you're on WWL. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Jim, what you got?
Jimmy.
Not right. Timmy, but Jimmy.
There he is. What's going on, Jimmy?
Hey, Jim, what you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, look, great show as always. I agree with you, Bobby. I really don't think we have that much leverage as a franchise as people think, as much as people think.
Well, in the NBA, not a lot of franchises have the leverage.
You're right, Christian. But let's look at it this way. Just like when we traded for Boogie, we had 1 year on his contract and we lost Heald for that. A lot of other teams didn't do that because they knew if he didn't want to be there, he was gone after 1 year. Well, guess what? We got the same situation with Davis.
That's not true.
1 year.
That's not true.
Okay. I hope not, Bobby. But listen, I will not be surprised if Davis suits back up, because if Griffin doesn't get a good deal, he's going to have no choice but to suit him back up. And I'm not going to say Eden Crow, but yeah, you're right. He is up in the ante, because if every team thinks that we cannot suit this guy up, we're putting ourselves in a bind. So, I mean, I would not be surprised if he's back in a Pelicans uniform at the beginning of the year. I'll be honest with you.
Well, the part that's not true is no one knew that Boogie would have signed for a max deal. The Pelicans didn't offer him a max deal because he got hurt. It wasn't because he was on a rental, so to speak, and he wanted to leave you. If the Pelicans offered him a max deal, he would have took it in a heartbeat. But the Pelicans didn't offer him because he was coming off of injury.
Do you think David Griffin can get Gail Benson to go over to luxury tax?
Luxury tax? How quick is this team up to compete with Golden State? That's the question.
Well, I got to see what they get for AD if they trade AD.
Man,
that's the question. I don't think it's worth going over the luxury tax if you're going to be out in the first round. Out in the second round. Now, if going over the luxury tax can get you to the Western Conference Final, yes, I think she'll do it. But just to get knocked out in the first round or second round, no, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to keep it real.
All right. Well, come on.
That, like, small markets, big markets. Okay. You look Oklahoma City, San Antonio.
Milwaukee.
Memphis, Milwaukee, the only smaller market than New Orleans is Memphis. But I think you can be relevant and be a playoff contender and be relevant in the playoffs, but can you win a championship? I'm telling you right now, I am not going to say anything until the next small market team can accomplish greatness like the San Antonio Spurs and win a championship. That's what I want to see. Because you look at Golden State, San Francisco, Oakland, the Bay Area, you look at all that. So I'm just telling you, I think going forward we could truly be relevant. And I would challenge the Pelicans. Oklahoma City, you look at all the small markets and what comes about. But can you be the champions of champions? You might say, oh, but Bobby, you're being unrealistic. No. Why not have high expectations? I want to have another damn parade. I want to have a parade that we're not only celebrating the Saints and NFL, we're celebrating the NBA. But to be the champion, Christian, let me tell you why it's so hard. Because you could truly be an outstanding team, but you got to win four games. You could take a team, you could 3-3, it could be 3-2 and you lose 4-2, but can you win four games? It's not one game, because
right.
the series. The NFL is different, because to me that is way different than the NBA. That's why, to me, Major League Baseball and the NBA, truly the better team wins because you're in a series. So with that being said, we would love the New Orleans Pelicans to be relevant like we have with Chris Paul. When all of a sudden we're one game away from going to the Western Conference Final. It was 3-3,
mm-hmm.
and the Spurs beat us. Wouldn't you welcome those days back?
Of course.
What? The arena, the Smoothie King Center would be rocking. It would be jamming. We'd be supporting a winner. We don't want a team.
Jamming like Bob Marley. No, we'd be jamming.
We'd be jamming. We don't want a team that's like on the cuffs. Oh, I hope we're the eighth seed. I hope we're the eighth or seventh seed. No. Can you be truly relevant and have a chance? Have a fighter's chance. I think that's what basketball fans in the Gulf South, the Gulf Coast, New Orleans area, look at the Pelicans. Can we have a fighting chance to be relevant in that number?
Bobby Deuce and Christian, phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. Milwaukee Bucks are moving on. 127-104, they sweep the Detroit Pistons. The Rockets in control of their series with the Jazz. They did lose last night. They're 3-1. They lead the series 3-1, so no real surprises there. But are the Bucks are they the threat to the Golden State Warriors?
Well,
they would be a tough matchup for them. I mean,
hell yeah, against the Celtics.
Well, this is going to be an interesting series.
Don't go against the Greek Freak right now. I'm telling you,
Giannis is playing unbelievable.
Can you say his last name? You want to give it a shot?
Antetokounmpo.
All right,
Antetokounmpo. That ain't correct, but it's close. Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That sounds good to me. I don't know. I just love it because he's a black Greek. I mean, I love the Greek Freak. I love that. I mean, to me, you look at his skill set. And Christian, they have a guy that was NBA Rookie of the Year, and they're waiting for him to come off the bench, Malcolm Brogdon. He was still out. Right foot injury.
Yeah, Brogdon hurt.
Yeah, and they're going to have a better sense 3 to 5 days.
They just got Mirotić back.
Mirotić, we all know
great.
About him.
Yeah.
To jack up those threes, but Malcolm Brogdon will be available, the timetable, 3 to 5 days. But you look at the Bucks. I'm looking at the Bucks versus Detroit. Won every game they played against Detroit this season, including all four regular season games. So now they won like 8 straight. Milwaukee, you think about this, had not swept a best-of-7 series since 1983 in the conference semifinals against the Boston Celtics. Well, guess who they play in the Celtics? But you look at Detroit, the Pistons. It is not the Pistons of Joe Dumars back in the day. Their most
the bad boys.
Yeah, their most recent postseason victory was May 26, 2008. It was Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. But you know what, Christian? The New York Knicks lost 13 straight playoff games from 2001 to 2012. You know what happened? The Pistons, the Detroit Pistons, just eclipsed that mark. Now they've lost 14 straight playoff games. Now think how hard that is.
That's a lot of losing.
Yes,
it is. When you, it's like the Buffalo Bills.
No, you get to the playoffs
and you can't win. You're getting swept.
You're getting swept and you are not winning. The Knicks lost 13 straight now. The Pistons lost 14 straight. But now, I'm intrigued by this. The Bucks move on.
I'm intrigued to get to this commercial.
No, the Bucks. Christian, come on, be patient. The Bucks move on to face the Celtics, who knocked out Milwaukee out of the playoffs in a seven-game series last year. I think this is going seven, but I'm going with the Bucks in seven versus Kyrie Irving. Come on, the Celtics. The Bucks have been more consistent than the Celtics.
Yeah, they have.
Come on, Deuce. You got to admit that.
I agree. I like the Bucks in six, though. I don't think it gets a seven.
Okay, that's a good point. Good point.
Let's let Bob Marley take us out here. We be jamming.
We jamming.
Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby's day in history, sports history. Brock Mathis just missed one. Go ahead, Bobby.
Well, Christian, I got to give credit. Is that Todd playing that music?
Yes, that would be Todd.
Yeah.
Give us that music one more time, Bobby. Todd, and give Bobby his moment, a day in history.
No, it was getting me in the mood. It was getting me in the mood. Todd, can you pull that up?
Okay. Music you just played.
Todd said he can't pull that music back up. It's gone.
Okay, it's gone, right. Whatever. Okay, but let me tell you, today in history, we have enough.
Is this today history, yes, or just in no, general history?
Today.
Okay.
Today, yes. Play that in the background. Today, this being April 23rd in history, this would occur. This is a lot of sports history here. Oh, yeah. Do you know that in 1995, sportscaster Howard Cosell died in New York at age 77?
Howard Cosell.
I mean, who doesn't know Howard Cosell? All you millennials, you got to realize who Howard Cosell was. He was a lawyer that was able to commentate on sports. He was able to go face to face with Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, and do an interview. What? Howard Cosell, Monday Night Football, when it all started. Come on, millennials, research it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
You are after the millennials today, man.
No, I'm just telling you, you got to know history.
Right.
You got to respect history. And then before I get to Hank Aaron, Hammer and Hank, you know whose birthday is today?
Hank Aaron?
No, the $6 million man. I don't know the ratio today, but they had a movie called The $6 Million Man. It was actor Lee Majors. Lee Majors, who was married to the poster child, Farrah Fawcett. Lee Majors turned 80 today. He was considered the $6 million man. I don't know. What would that be? What would it be, the $25 million man? I mean, Lee Majors.
I'm trying to just pick it all up, Christian.
No, Lee Majors. Look it up. Lee Majors, $6 million
man. Yeah, look it up.
They had a movie. Now, this is historic.
Okay.
If you truly love sports, this was 75 years ago. 75 years ago. That sounds ancient. Do you know Hank Aaron? Hammering Hank Aaron on April the 23rd, 1954, hit his first of his 755 Major League home runs in a game against the St. Louis Cardinals. They were the Milwaukee Braves.
Who's the pitcher, Bobby?
Before, I don't know that, Deuce. But before they moved to Atlanta, they were the Milwaukee Braves before they moved to Atlanta. So Hank Aaron, think about this. You know, we talk about home runs. His first home run he hit today, 75 years later, and he ended up hitting 755. What? Who that? I mean, who that all that? I mean, that is significant when I look at that.
Bobby's moment in sports history. This is Sports Talk here on WWL. LSU 5-1 over Lamar, top of the sixth inning. The NCAA tweaking targeting and overtime rules for the 2019 college football season. Of course, that impacted LSU quite a bit last year. Games with seven overtimes are now unlikely to happen. Teams will run alternating two-point plays starting in the fifth overtime rather than starting another drive at the opponent's 25-yard line. There will also be a two-minute rest periods after the second and fourth overtimes. These rules for the first four overtimes remain unchanged. So also, LSU, are the targeting issues, we'll get to that in a few moments. Blindside blocks are going to be outlawed as well.
Well, that's what the NFL did as well,
mm-hmm.
for the blindside blocks.
Yeah. So what do you think of the overtime changes? Remember that LSU-Texas A&M wild one?
Well, to me, from the get-go, I mean, you want to make it where it's not extending, where the players are fatigued.
Well, player safety.
Just go for two. You have to go for two. I mean, we in overtime, and you score, you got to go for two. And then you score, you got to go for two.
Yeah.
I mean, instead of kicking an extra point, because that's pretty much automatic. So
this forces teams to have to do it.
So wouldn't that help things? Yeah.
Well, I think so. I mean, because now it's you know, if I'm a coach, I'm going to put the onus on my defense to have to play really good defense. And now they're saying, okay, if we get to, what is it, after four overtimes,
yes.
or going into the fifth one?
Fifth.
So going into the fifth one, each team will have to go for two from that point on because they are concerned with player safety. And also that's why you're going to get that two-minute break as well.
A new progressive penalty for targeting has been added as well. Players who commit three targeting fouls in the same season can be suspended for one game.
Now, it can be, but it's not an automatic, though, correct? I wonder, does that go before the conference or does that go in front of the NCAA?
Well, they're tweaking it. I don't think it goes before conferences. It looks like the NCAA competition committee handled this. So targeting fouls can no longer just let the call on the field stand during a targeting review. It must be confirmed or overturned. Instant replay officials will be directed to examine all aspects of the play and confirm the targeting foul when all elements of targeting are present. See, I think that helps. Remember Devin White?
Yeah.
I think last year that was not targeting, and they didn't have the instant replay officials review all aspects of the play to confirm the targeting foul.
I'm okay with a penalty, but then when you only have a piece of it, and so that's targeting when it's truly not targeting.
Right.
You know, you're talking about a kid being thrown out, not only that game, but having to miss half of another game, you know, if it is in the second half of a game.
Four LSU players were ejected for targeting last year. Four. One being Devin White, Grant Delpit, John Battle, and Michael Phillips.
Yeah, but none of them would have been suspended for a game. None of them got the three threshold, though, correct?
Right. No, you're right. You're right there.
Well, you know, Christian, I got to acknowledge this, you know, my math was a little off. This is 0176. Bobby is 65, not 70 years, 75 years. Check your calculator on Henry Aaron.
He didn't use a calculator. What number is that?
It was like 65 years.
No, I'm talking about to the texture. We just told him we took you for your number. You didn't use a calculator.
0176.
No, it was 65 instead of 75. It's still a great accomplishment. Come on. I mean, Hammer and Hank. I mean, come on. I mean, who does not know who Henry Aaron is, considering when you look at his significance, when you're hitting home runs at the major league level, your first one, and you're able to achieve 755.
Also, the NCAA tweaked the kickoffs. The two-man wedge formation on all kickoffs are now illegal. I think you're going to eventually
see. That's the NFL rule.
Yep. You're going to eventually see kickoffs just go bye-bye. All right, we're pushing out here. Todd Meneses, big thanks to him at Master Control. Also, Mark Menard behind the scenes helping us put together the program. Back tomorrow, Cadillac of Metairie, 3100 Lime Street. Also, want to thank our executive producer and program director, Diane Newman. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Deuce, do your thing. Get it to Bobby.
Thanks for the calls, the listeners. You guys have been great. Bobby, take us home.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people.
Who dat?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of
of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.